Welcome, I'm Barkha Dutt, and the big story tonight. India has conducted surgical strikes in multiple sectors along and across the line of control, attacking 7 terror launch pads, going deep inside Pakistan-occupied Kashmir. One highly placed source confirming to me that this was the special forces going at least 2 kilometers deep. All day long, we have been reporting this big story. This is a paradigm shift in India's response to Pakistan-fomented terrorism. A clear message that Pakistan-backed cross-border terrorism will come at a price. Special forces were sent in after midnight last night, and they were out and back on our side of the line of control before sunrise at about 4:30 in the morning. Let's take you through the details over the next 60 minutes. We'll be looking at all the implications of this very, very big story tonight, a paradigm shift, a Modi doctrine that has changed the way India responds to Pakistan and Pakistan-backed terrorism. Let's take you through everything we know about the operation, and then we'll bring you what the Director General of Military Operations said. As we said, between 6 and 8 terror launch pads in Pakistan-occupied Kashmir were attacked. We are told that 5 of them were destroyed. These were in multiple sectors, in different sectors, at least in 4 or 5 different sectors. Forces, the paras, the special forces, went in 2 kilometers out inside. They came out before sunrise. Sources are saying, though nobody is putting a number on it, that scores of terrorists have been killed. Now, forces have evidence of the damage. Massive casualties have been inflicted, according to one source. In fact, there were drones, there was surveillance equipment that has caught this damage on camera. It is left to the forces to determine when and if this evidence should be released. Pakistan, our sources say, was expected to always deny the surgical strikes. They may be looking for a face saver to actually duck escalation. And border villages in Jammu and Kashmir and Punjab have all been evacuated of civilians as a precautionary measure, because it is expected that Pakistan's first retaliation could be to respond with scaled up artillery firing at the line of control and at the border. Let's also give you a sense of some of the thinking, because for any government to take this decision, it's a risky decision. An operation like this is dangerous, it's precarious, but some factors did end up making up the government's mind. And let's actually move to the other set of graphics now. Anger in people was a key factor. Many highly placed sources are saying that the anger was so intense. One source likened it to the anger, the mass popular anger that the country witnessed after the Nirbhaya gang rape. Not to make a literal comparison, but to make the point this was actually a call for action, and that a diplomatic tinkering would no longer work. What did they mean by diplomatic tinkering? Well, all the things that the government's been doing anyway, pulling out of SAARC, reviewing most favored nation status, maximizing the Indus Water Treaties, maybe even changing the diplomatic status between India and Pakistan. None of this, according to our sources, was seen to address the levels of public anger. Also, these sources said, the government giving us a sense that Mr. Modi, the Prime Minister, had tried peace with Nawaz Sharif for over 2 years, taking high-risk decisions like going to Lahore unannounced for Mr. Sharif's birthday. But the assessment in Delhi was that Sharif had lost both autonomy and authority and had started to toe the line of the Pakistan deep state. And the big message that the government wanted to send out was that Pakistan must understand that cross-border terrorism will come with a cost, that from Kandahar downwards, in more than 2 decades, India had never statedly conducted a surgical strike. And this is India shifting, in a sense, the doctrine that has governed our relations with Pakistan. And finally, that nuclear threats from Pakistan need not be taken seriously. These are threats made by Pakistan to get world attention. Before we get to all the details, let's listen to the Director General of Military Operations making this critical announcement.
Based on very specific and credible information which we received yesterday, that some terrorist teams had positioned themselves at launch pads along the line of control with an aim to carry out infiltration and terrorist strikes in Jammu and Kashmir and various other metros in our country, the Indian Army conducted surgical strikes last night at these launch pads. The operations were basically focused to ensure that these terrorists do not succeed in their design of infiltration and carrying out destruction and endangering the lives of citizens of our country. During these counter-terrorist operations, significant casualties have been caused to the terrorists and those who are trying to support them.
All right. In fact, we are told that massive casualties have been inflicted on terrorists, and maybe those details will be revealed as and when. But certainly the DGMO confirming those massive casualties, but no casualty at all to Indians. Sudhir Ranjan Sen, my colleague, is joining us now. Now, Sudhir, we have seen these surgical strikes actually take place in multiple sectors, both in the Jammu region and the Kashmir Valley, actually spanning more than a breadth of 200 kilometers.
Well, yes, Barkha, that's what we are getting to hear, that in fact the arc of operations is as big as 250 kilometers. That's the frontage of the operations that were carried out. And also, let me tell you that this is not an operation that was thought of overnight and a clearance that was given overnight. But this was a very well thought out, calculated operation, in the sense that all these terror launch pads were under surveillance for quite some time after the Uri attack. The military then had been given a very clear direction that if you see troops massing up or moving towards India, or if you see these launch pads, terrorists coming into these launch pads and then trying to move across, you have the right to strike. Yesterday, what I understand, there was clear intelligence confirmation that there are terrorists who have gathered here. The clearance for the operation was given yesterday afternoon, And the troops started moving by about 2 in the afternoon. Of course, the final assault starts at about 12:30, ends by about 4:30. The troops were given very clear instructions that you do not leave any bodies or your buddy behind. You go strike, carry everyone back. And that is exactly what happened. The terror launch pad struck. Heavy casualties, as the DGMO says, inflicted, and they came back. The element of surprise, a very important thing in a surgical strike like this, was complete. Because what I've been told, it's only after the troops returned back did Pakistan get the win that there has been a strike like this. And that is when we see in the morning firing from across Pakistan, which of course we replied appropriately. Barkha.
So the one of the orders to the paras was leave no bodies or buddies behind. That if there is an Indian casualty, you will not leave it there, you will not leave the body there, and you will try, of course, to not leave your body behind.
Absolutely. I mean, that is one of the clear instructions that was given to the paras. And that exactly shows the level of planning. In fact, sources are indicating to me that, they had contingency plans. All those had been worked out. And the last details, things have been worked out. What I'm given to understand is the number of soldiers, although the groups that would have taken down these terror launch pads would not be more than 10, because that is how they operate. That's how the paracommandos or the special forces, whatever you call them, operate. But there was backup and there was a contingency plan, which included a complete alert across the border of all the forces deployed there, including the Indian Air Force, that was put on a high alert, ready for any exigency or emergency to move in. Barkha.
All right, Sudhir, we'll leave it there as you get more details. Operations that were monitored through the night by the Army Chief Dalbir Sohag. And of course, earlier this morning, the Prime Minister chairing a meeting of the Cabinet Committee of Security ahead of that announcement being made public. Now, what's extremely significant is the government's official response. The IMB Minister of State, Colonel Rajyavardhan Rathore, speaking to me earlier, actually said that this is an anti-terror operation. This was done to stop terrorists who were being pushed in across the line of control and were planning fresh attacks. But that this is not a violation of any kind, because this has taken place in Pakistan-occupied Kashmir, which India has always considered a part of India. Can we just slowly stay on those graphics so we can just look at what Colonel Rathore has said? POK is a part of India. We haven't violated anything. This is an anti-terror operation on military action. Military action, he said, would have required heavier weaponry and more forces. He also said that the government believes that a large number of people in Pakistan are sensible but they should not be driven by a handful of insane people. And he said that those handful of insane people could not be allowed to run their writ in India. Listen in to this very, very significant interview from Rajyavardhan Rathore, officially saying, yes, we did cross the LOC, but this was in POK. This was an attack on terrorists. And the fact that Pakistan itself is admitting that two Pakistani soldiers were killed shows the collusion between the Pakistan army and the non-state actors. Colonel Rathore, this is a very big day. It is the first time since in decades that such action has been taken and announced and even conveyed to the Pakistanis. How do you first see the significance of what has happened?
See, time again, India has been attacked repeatedly, and we've shown restraint all along. Our Prime Minister has made every effort to be friendly with the neighboring countries, especially Pakistan. We've made every attempt to use every platform to develop this relationship and make it better. However, Pakistan has always been claiming that there are non-state actors to which they have no control. However, this cannot be an excuse for us to be to not protect ourselves. And therefore, in this situation, it's a anti-terrorist operation that we carried out. And instead of a normal situation where we would have perhaps waited for these terrorists to cross the border and then nab them on this side, on our side, we went across the LOC and on specific intelligence where these groups were congregating to cross over in smaller groups. So these staging forward camps were there, wherein they would have crossed over into India and then killed the innocents on our side. The military carried out surgical strikes and destroyed the camps there.
So you are saying
the message is very clear in this that we will do everything that is possible to defend ourselves, and it cannot be merely restricted to a defensive posture. To defend ourselves, we may attack as well.
Colonel Rathore, therefore, you are confirming that this was in fact to stop a new group of terrorists from infiltrating in, and these were terrorists who were planning fresh terror attacks. So this was not retaliation for the Uri attacks alone, this was also to prevent fresh terror attacks from taking place.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Even previously, intelligence has existed, and the Indian government and the Indian military has shown restraint and not crossed the LOC. But LOC cannot become a barrier for us to protect our country. And like you mentioned right now, we are in a situation today where the entire nation is one, irrespective of caste, color, creed, irrespective of party. If we are attacked any part of a country, the entire nation will stand together and defend itself.
Colonel Rathore, can you give us a sense of, because you have been an army soldier yourself, you understand this better than perhaps most politicians. Can you give us a sense of how dangerous and precarious a surgical strike is? What sort of risks our forces would have actually had to take? How specific the intelligence, how perfect the intelligence gathering would have been to make this operation as successful as it has been, that not one Indian casualty has actually been suffered as far as we know?
Here I would like to compliment every citizen of our country who's actually wanted an action just because our respect has been hurt, our izzat has been hurt. I compliment them to have the patience, and in a very mature manner, our country waited and bided for its time when the time was right. We had enough intelligence, our army was ready. And this is the result that we've been able to go across, carry out strikes which have actually destroyed multiple camps and, however, come back without a single casualty. This speaks volumes of the professionalism of our Indian Army, of our soldiers, of our leadership in the Army, of our political leadership, of the whole nation sticking together as one. A great example of all of this. Certainly, when you cross the line of control, you are, as a soldier, you are exposing yourself to all sorts of risks. And there are mines which are there. There are innumerable ambushes that you can run into. You're going into an uncharted territory. There are possibilities of running into a larger force there. You could become a captive there. Unimaginable problems that can be there on the other side. However, this is where the sheer gallantry and the courage of Indian soldiers was at display, that given a call by the nation, they stood up to the task as always and carried out perfectly.
Sir, could you confirm for us, we are told very reliably that massive casualties have been inflicted on terror launch pads on the other side, no Indian casualties at all. There is talk of scores of terrorists having been eliminated. Are you able to share more details at this point on this aspect?
I think gradually more information would be revealed to all of us by the military. As of now, even if we stick to the version, the briefing that was given, so and even what has been spoken from the other side, that there have been soldiers that have been killed there and some of them wounded, and a large number of terrorists who have been killed there. So obviously there seems to be a collusion between their army and their non-state actors, as they keep calling them. I think the larger message here is that India has always wanted peace. We will continue to want peace and work for that peace. However, Pakistan must realize that a larger number of Pakistanis perhaps want peace and are sensible, but a smaller handful of people are taking us all for a ride. And that smaller number of people in Pakistan need to be isolated, and they cannot run the writ in both our nations. And we will defend ourselves irrespective of what action we have to take.
Colonel Rathore, you said India still wants peace. Do you still believe that? Because in some ways the Prime Minister did attempt peace with Nawaz Sharif for over 2 years. He took a great deal of interest in that. He even went to meet him unannounced in Lahore on his birthday. Do you believe that there is still any window for peace given the circumstance we're in with Pakistan, where we could now see escalation after the surgical strikes in the military situation?
I think peace is a constant factor. We must strive for peace. Certainly our Prime Minister and our government is going to continue striving for peace. However, we will not talk to terrorists. We will not bow down to terrorists. We will not bow down to any action wherein our civilians are hurt, our innocents are hurt, or our territory is threatened. So our restraint cannot be taken as a sign of weakness.
Colonel Rathore, how would you see this as a departure from previous policy? You know, we had the BJP President Amit Shah saying in a comment that this is a signaling of a new India. And we are seeing at least publicly announced surgical strikes for the first time since I can remember. Not even Kargil, not even Kandahar, not 26/11. We never saw this action. Explain to us how you see this departure from prior responses of previous governments.
I think it should not be seen as from government to government how it's varying. I think these are today's times when nothing can be kept hidden. So times are changing worldwide, and perhaps that's the reason why these strikes are being announced, because you cannot keep them a secret. Also, the whole morale of the army, the morale of the nation, where it needs to know that it's capable of defending itself. And today India is capable of defending itself. It not only has the capability, but it will demonstrate that capability time and again whenever it is required. We are not fond of this aggressive action, but if you force us, we will carry out any, we will take any step that is required to defend our territories.
Sir, Pakistan has rather predictably denied that surgical strikes have been taken, but while acknowledging that two of their soldiers have been killed, 9 others have been injured, they are trying to position these surgical strikes as action by Indian forces at the LOC, like a little more than routine aggression at the LOC. But I thought the Pakistan defense minister gave away the game, and I mean, you're a champion shooter, so you can explain this to our viewers. He referred to small arms fire. Now, everybody who knows the border and the LOC knows that small arms fire never inflict casualties unless they're close, at close range, unless they're eyeball to eyeball, face to face. So in some ways he gave his own contradiction away.
I think the use of various calibers of weapon and the ammunition is the judgment of the troops that are going in, also keeping in mind the kind of threat that they face. So I think that's really not critical here. The critical aspect is that we did cross the line of control, and Pakistan occupied Kashmir is very much part of India. So we have not violated anything there. Also to remember is 2004 was the time when ceasefire was declared between India and Pakistan on the line of control, which Pakistan itself has violated time and again. So I think if Pakistan talks about however they are feeling on the action by India, I think it's time for them to realize that they rein in these non-state actors, and terrorism is a threat to the entire planet, leave aside India or Pakistan. It's hurting them as much. And therefore, if they can rein in these non-state actors and these terrorists, I think nothing better could be asked for. And if they need any help, I think India or the world would be very much happy to help them rein in the non-state actors.
Colonel Rathore, it's very important the point you make that the action has been in Pakistan-occupied Kashmir, which in any case we consider as our territory. A parliamentary resolution has long ago declared it as that. So you're really underlining that point, that this action has actually taken place as a counter-terror operation and not a violation. Nobody in the world can call it a violation of any kind.
Absolutely, and the Pakistani defense minister here has kind of reiterated that very aspect. It was an anti-terrorist operation. We used just the amount of force that was required to neutralize the terrorists or all those who were supporting those terrorists. It is not a military action, because military action could actually involve very large number of forces and very heavier weaponry. So I think he's actually corroborated exactly what we are saying.
Very important point, and I did also think his reference to small arms fire gives away his own contradiction in his trying to hide these surgical strikes and deny them. Let me ask you one last question. For any government, or this is a very delicate decision to take, because there's always the fear of escalation. We are being told that civilians are being cleared of border villages in Jammu and Kashmir and Punjab. Colonel Rathore, as a soldier, as a minister, what can you say to the people of India who may be worried about what comes next in the next 24 to 48 hours, who may be worried that there may not be a rational response from Pakistan, that Pakistan could be looking to escalate this? We've even seen utterly irresponsible statements from Pakistan threatening nuclear action if India is aggressive. So we're not necessarily dealing with very rational responses here. How would you factor in the dangers of escalation, sir, at this point?
I think the most important part here is that India today, together, is willing to fight any threat to any part or to any citizen of our country, be it inside India, Indian territory, or outside. We today, together, collectively have the political will to defend our country by any method required. Like I mentioned earlier, I would presume that there are a large number of Pakistanis who are very sensible. Then why are they being driven by a handful of people who seem to be extremely insane? We cannot be cowed down as a nation by those handful of people. Those handful of people may run writ in Pakistan, but they do not have any say or any control on our part of territory. And therefore, whatever is required, Indian citizens, Indian territory, together, without any prejudice, without any bipartisan, would be defended any way which is possible.
And sir, like the Prime Minister, you do appear to be distinguishing between the people of Pakistan and the handful, unfortunately, that you talk about seem to be running its deep state. So like the Prime Minister, you are making that distinction even at this delicate point.
This is not a time for one-upmanship, and therefore these are very sensitive times, and we realize that we've carried out this action to defend our country. No longer will India sit in defensive postures to defend our country. There is a method of going into an offensive to defend ourselves, and we've just taken use of that right of any nation to defend itself. This is directed purely towards terrorists, those that Pakistan calls non-state actors, and therefore it is not a military action, it is an anti-terrorist operation. The Prime Minister and our government and the entire country of and our entire people of our country continue to hope for peace and work for peace.
All right, Colonel Rajyavardhan Rathore there saying that the surgical strikes cannot be called a military action. They are instead an anti-terror operation that have in fact taken place in territory that India regards as our own, which is Pakistan-occupied Kashmir. Let's take those comments, the ramifications of what has happened, to our panel. We're joined by former Chief of Army Staff, General Deepak Kapoor, who's also been, of course, former Chairman of the Chief of Staff Committee. Air Chief Marshal Fali Major, the former Chief of Air Staff, is with us. Ambassador KC Singh is with us. Rajiv Chandrasekhar, who moved that legislation to declare Pakistan a terror state. Member of Parliament's here. Nalin Kohli of the BJP is here, and Ashok Malik is here. Let me start with you, Air Marshal Major. You said that this was needed. This is something, in fact, you as Air Chief wanted to do after 26/11. It did not happen. The government of the day had a different doctrine. Do you see this as a paradigm shift?
Absolutely. It shows intent, the political will, and most importantly, the aim to put to an end the long harassment of terrorism which this country has had. There is no doubt that what has happened last night across the LOC is a very wonderfully planned and executed operation to take across to Pakistan that our, you know, age-old strategic restraint doctrine is now history, and we mean business. It's as simple as that.
Okay, let me bring in General Kapoor. General Kapoor, you were Army Chief when 26/11 happened. Air Marshal Major was Air Chief. At that time, we are told that, you know, you were among those who did not believe that surgical strikes were a viable option. How do you see this decision today? And also for our viewers to explain what are the dangers that come with something as precarious as a surgical strike?
Barkha, let me first begin by complimenting the Indian military for the surgical strikes, very well calculated, very well calibrated, well planned and well executed strikes carried out by them. A surgical strike is based on precise intelligence, specific targeting, and with the aim of causing specified amount of damage with minimum collateral damage.
Yes.
Which is what the Indian Army was able to achieve in the surgical strikes. Let me also correct your so-called impression of 26/11 that I was against surgical strikes when deliberations took place post 26/11. In fact, that is nothing could be farther than the truth. It is a decision which had to be taken by the government of the day then, and all the ramifications and nuances were made clear by the three service chiefs to them. Finally, the decision rested with the then political leadership. So I would place it at that level.
Yes.
Now, leaving that behind, I'd like to say that there are three main qualitative differences.
Yes.
Which I'd like to point out as far as these surgical strikes are concerned. First and foremost, they've been overt in nature, in the sense that we have, having carried them out, told Pakistan as well as the rest of the world that we did this to, as a counter-terrorist strike against those forces which are causing terrorism within our country and those which are supporting such acts of terrorism.
Yes.
That is point one. Secondly, there is the qualitative difference that till now we did not cross the line of control, the LC as we generally refer to.
Yeah.
Even during the Kargil conflict, we maintained the sanctity of the LC.
Yes.
It's for the first time we have crossed the line of control and gone ahead and attacked the terrorist camps for where terrorism was being
pushed in,
launched against us.
Yes.
To that extent, there is a tremendous change.
Yes.
And there is a change, as pointed out by Colonel Rathore earlier, that from a totally defensive posture, we've gone on to a posture of offensive defense. Well, it has also to do with a decision which the political leadership has taken, and I think to that extent, they are quite right in what they did.
Okay, let me open.
Thirdly,
yes, complete your point, sir.
In as far as Indian Army is concerned, it's a sea change, and it gives them a free hand to deal with terrorism in the valley in future, and I have no doubt they will continue to perform well whenever such strikes happen.
Okay.
Let me also point out here that there is a direct linkage between what happened post the Burhan Wani incident in the Kashmir Valley and what the terrorist strike at Uri has meant.
Yes.
You see, having started the unrest in the valley, the Pakistani deep state looked at providing support to what was happening within the valley by carrying out strikes against Indian forces along the line of control.
And sir, I would even argue...
It was their way of demonstrating...
May I just briefly interject to say that I would even argue that that the Prime Minister's shift, and maybe Nalin can come in here and Rajiv, came in fact not even in the aftermath of Uri, but when Pakistan began ratcheting up its rhetoric on Burhan Wani, on the unrest, is when we saw a much more aggressive shift there with Balochistan and so on being brought up. Nalin, would it be fair to say that this is a tectonic shift in doctrine? Because Mr. Modi himself, as one source said...
It's an inflection point.
Yes, it is an inflection point. Go ahead, Nalin.
It's no doubt. It's an inflection point.
Yes.
Because after Uri, it was almost an instant, clear, unequivocal message that this won't go unpunished. That message was there. And if you have to see the chain of events in terms of what happened about in approximately 2 weeks, there was a comprehensive approach. And that's, I think, what you need to see is that so far over the last 7 decades, and we've also argued this on your show and discussed it on your show, not argued, that the government of the day has looked at one option or the other or a combination of options,
yes,
but has never tried to look at it in a comprehensive manner.
Yes.
So now it's basically clear that we have a comprehensive relationship or we'll have a comprehensive response. So the Prime Minister calling for the meetings, what took place with the Defence Minister, the Home Minister, the Finance Minister, the NSA, the Army Chief, all other concerned, Home Secretary, Foreign Secretary, whatever, all of them. Then you had a review meeting of the Indus Water Treaty. Blood and water can't flow together.
Yeah.
Terrorism and cooperation can't go together. So you've had the SAARC meeting and those announcements that followed just a couple of days ago. And you've seen now the surgical strikes. But I think the important point which has come out in the interview preceding this discussion, that this is an anti-terror operation. It's an inflection point that what is important is, here was credible information that after the launch they would come into the country, wreak mayhem not only in Jammu and Kashmir but other parts of the country. So this was a preemptive strike to ensure that they do not wreak mayhem. And I think beyond the political leadership, what needs to be today complimented, saluted, absolutely is the courage for the successful operation by the armed forces.
Absolutely.
No collateral damage, casualties at the other end, no body bags. And I think doing it in a manner as before me, the General and the Chief Marshal have spoken about. So I think that's important today.
Okay.
The forces would feel relieved that, they've been given a free hand. They've gone and done what they think is correct.
Yeah.
And I think it's also India's posture that we are going to not take terrorism lying down. Now, Pakistan should live up to its promise that its territory or territory under its control, as per the Lahore Agreement declaration, is going to be made good. So
okay.
They should welcome it and we should cooperate on it.
Okay, I just want to get Rajiv in and then I want to come to my studio guest. Rajiv, you have been pushing for this legislation. You've sent a copy of it to every single member of parliament to declare Pakistan a terror state. In many ways, actually, the government, we must give it credit, has actually played this fully by the book. You have gone through all your diplomatic options. You have summoned the Pakistan envoy. You have presented him with the evidence. You have explored diplomatic options. You've had the Prime Minister briefing Dr. Manmohan Singh. You've had an all-party meeting. You've had Sushma Swaraj briefing Sonia Gandhi. You have had the DGMO to DGMO hotline being used to say, we just conducted surgical strikes. It cannot be called knee-jerk. It is actually very well calibrated. It has been incremental and planned.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think there is a person in this country that believes this was knee-jerk. I think our response to Pakistan has, for the first time in several years, been well thought through, measured, and has been successful. At the end of the day, that is the result that we look for. It has put Pakistan on notice that we will open up all kinds of tools that we have, the Indus Water Treaty, the most favored nation status, diplomatic isolation, and the military option. And this is the only language that Pakistan will understand, because for years this doctrine of strategic restraint has led Indians and the Pakistanis to believe that we don't have the capability militarily to respond to Pakistan and its terrorism. And today we have demonstrated not only are we diplomatically capable, not only are we economically capable, we are militarily capable to demonstrate to Pakistan that what they are doing will be resisted and responded to.
Let me bring in now Ambassador Casey Singh and Ashok. What now? there has been that this is a paradigm shift is you know, we have to, you have to agree with it, that it's a departure from how previous governments, including the NDA's own Vajpayee government, responded is not, it cannot be disputed. Pakistan's denial is also somewhat predictable. They want to locate this as a little more than routine cross LOC firing, but no troops having actually crossed.
I think two of us, we had some chats with some high-level sources. Yeah. And now the message that we were getting was that it's what the military did after Myanmar, what the military is doing again. Their messaging was simply say along the line of control. Don't get into this dispute of whether it is across or this side or wherever.
This is important because the Director General of Military Operations' initial words were along the line
of
control.
That's the same term that military used in case of Myanmar.
But sir, and you know when the DGMO, yeah. I must share this with you because reporters were confused because he said surgical strikes and he said along the line of control, and we can in fact bring that bite out and play it again if necessary. And then at the end of the briefing, reporters asked him, did you cross? And he said, yes, we crossed. And then Colonel Rathore just very clearly said, we crossed the line of control.
No, it was clear.
Are you saying there's some ambiguity there?
No, because it's a phrase. It's a question of what phrase you are using for the international community. But as far, what is the purpose of this? The purpose is to deter Pakistan. Purpose is to deter the Pakistani army, that they don't push militants in, that they don't come and kill us soldiers. They will get the message. You don't need to tell them whether you crossed or you haven't crossed. Now, the thing is, for the international community,
yes.
You maintain a consistent stand. You say that it's along the line. And then the doctrine of preemptive action is there. U.S. is taking preemptive action globally. Interesting thing is, nobody has come to you, not US, not any of the P5, who have come and said, why have you done it, or don't do it. Because in the past, whenever you had 26/11, etc., largely because US troops were in the area, and they wanted the Pakistani army engaged on the Western Front, they'll come running to you, saying, please don't take any action. So when we compare with previous governments, we should also keep that in mind.
Why is this phrase along the LOC important? Because in the minds of ordinary Indians, this can create confusion.
Because look, they have not gone after the camps. They've gone after the launch sites.
Yes.
Now, launch sites are not deep into the Pakistani side. They are along the line of control. So when you say along the line of control, so what do you want? You want sanctity of the line of control. Mm. You don't want Pakistani army to be aiding and abetting the pushing of militants through. And you want to basically make sure that they guard their side of the border. So the preemptive doctrine is good. What Rathore is saying is good. He explained it differently. But what he is saying is that if you cannot control that side and there are militants there, then I have a preemptive right to go and stop them before they enter my territory. That's the new doctrine.
Which is what Rathore said, that they were
which
going
is what
to
he said, but this is the new...
Yet you stick to the phrase along the LOC.
That's all right, because even that is along the LOC. Whether it's on your side along the LOC or their side, you can say what it means is, we are not saying we are going to Muzaffarabad. Yeah. We are not saying we are going deep into that territory.
We are
saying it's the sanctity of the line of control. If you do not maintain the sanctity on your side, then we'll come and maintain it.
So you're saying we're not questioning the sanctity of the line of control, but but when Colonel Rathore says, but this was our territory, be okay.
No, that is true. I mean, that even
that's
the
PA, a political argument.
That even
that's
the PM has said that Gilgit-Baltistan and POK are officially part of India.
Yeah.
That's a separate story. I think the distinction KC Singh is making is between a deep incursion into Pakistan-occupied Kashmir across the line of control and a very narrow incursion to preempt people who are trying to cross
over. But according to our reporters who have been briefed unofficially, the army has not said this on record, these incursions did go up to 2 kilometers.
Up to 2 kilometers.
Yes.
Between 500 meters and 2 kilometers.
Yes.
That's what I'm giving
yes.
you to understand.
Yes.
Over a vast expanse.
Yes.
There are two or three things here. One, there have been rumors in the past about incursions across the line of control,
yes.
including in the Vajpayee years, I remember.
Yes.
They have never officially been accepted. Today, they have been quasi-officially accepted. Because even when the DGMO said along the line of control, he also said terror launch pads. Now, terror launch pads are on the other side of the line of control. So, in a sense, they were trying to finesse.
But it's not like we have gone into deep into Pakistan territory and violated their sovereignty. Is that the emphasis here? That this is a preemptive strike to prevent a new terror attack?
A non-invasive surgical strike.
Okay, this is a very
invasive surgical strike.
This is a very technical term.
Second, Barkha, it is to raise the cost
You see, this is a way of telling them, in fact, the phrase being used, which we heard, is low-cost, low-risk operations. Pakistan Army just starts the firing, opens this thing, and lets the militants come in. So now you raise the cost of it, because they are moved from camps to launch pads. And when you get intelligence, and if they fear that you will attack them at the launch pad,
they will move the launch pad.
No, that's all right. Then they don't enter your territory, which means it's not going to be that easy.
I think what we've also done is changed. You know, there is now a new normal. The new normal is, if you come this close to the line of control, we will cross over and hit you if we can.
Okay, so this is a very, there's a nuance, and it's an important nuance, and I want both the former Air Chief and Army Chief to come in on it briefly, and then we'll get more reactions. Air Marshal Major, this nuancing, the DGMO indeed did use the phrase along the line of control. I think Ambassador KC Singh and Ashok Malik have also been briefed by high-level sources in the government. So this comes from people who have planned this. There is an emphasis, even as we heard in Colonel Rathore's statement, and perhaps this is what India will tell the world. The Foreign Secretary did meet with 22 foreign envoys today as well, or spoke to them. There is an emphasis here that this is a preemptive strike to stop another terror attack.
Barkha, as a military man, let me put it this way.
Yes.
You know, the diplomats can phrase it any which way they want. But as far as a military strike which happened last night is concerned, whether it's 220 yards away from the LC or 220 kilometers away from the LC, doesn't make a damn difference. The message which has gone out very clearly is that, listen, we know where you insert your terrorists from, and if we find them ever again, we're going to do the same thing to you. So stop sending those guys across. The message is very clear. Now you can put it whichever way you want diplomatically, you know, whether it's nuanced or not nuanced. We've sent a message to the world that we now mean business. And I'm so glad that we did it.
Okay.
And what is more important is that we didn't do it as a knee-jerk reaction, as someone mentioned earlier. It was a whole-of-government approach with excellent intelligence, with the diplomatic and political moves which were taken before what we did. And that is the message which the world has seen and has accepted, that yes, we went and hit them because they needed to be hit. It's as simple as that. Now, you can put it any which way you want in a fancy language.
I will ask KC and Ashok if it's only about language alone, is it's only a semantics conversation. But General Kapoor, what would have been the difficulty for the special forces? I think it's, as a former army chief, you can explain that to our viewers. Why would this have been such a precarious operation?
Barkha, having spent about 10 to 12 years in different, almost every rank in Jammu and Kashmir, I can tell you that it is a very difficult terrain, and a terrain which is being monitored from both sides very intensely, and to create gaps through them and through mountainous terrain during the middle of the night and through areas which have limited access is in itself a challenge which the Indian Army forces met very creditably.
Yes.
And having got there, to totally surprise the terrorists and the launch pads completely and cause casualties and destruction of a sizable amount, and then ensure that they got back safe and sound without having a casualty, that in itself is a tremendous credit, especially in view of the fact that since the Uri incident, the Pakis are claiming to be extremely alert on the line of control, where all sorts of practices and drills and rehearsals have been carried out.
Right.
I also want to add a couple of things as far as the initial aspect where you cut me short. Firstly is that by doing what they did at Uri, the Pakistani deep state were also trying to create a situation where, in addition to what was happening within the valley, they were trying to depict a picture of total chaos and mayhem.
Yes.
Within the valley, therefore inviting international attention.
Yes.
And the other qualitative difference in these surgical strikes has been that the military, the diplomacy, and the economic power of the country have been used very synergistically this time.
I think that's something we all agree on. I think that is something
that brought about optimization of the results.
Yes. Let me bring in Nalin and Rajiv. Rajiv.
And the last point that I wish to make.
Yes. Yes, sir.
And the last point that I wish to make is that this so-called deniability, well, they've denied, the Pakistan side has denied everything from the word go, whether it was 2611, which was initially denied, whether it was Pathankot, or even this Uri incident, or even Kargil for that matter.
Yes, in Kargil, of course, they didn't even take back the bodies of their own soldiers. Now, briefly, Rajiv and Nalin. Nalin, for any government, you have to weigh in the potential danger of, you know, what you could call escalatory warfare. A country would want to contain this at this level, which is why I think it's so important what Ashok and Ambassador Casey Singh have said, that this is preemptive to stop a terror strike, right? This is not a declaration of war. And I think that those distinctions are very important this evening. Nalin, I'll start with you and then Rajiv.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I think even I pointed out that clearly, that, you know, this was a preemptive terrorist strike. That's what the government is saying. That's what everyone is saying.
Yes.
This is not a declaration of war against Pakistan. This is just about us protecting ourselves against terror. And this is something that we should also get to. The second point is that in terms of economic might and all that you're saying, that will be part of the comprehensive approach that we are looking at it. But what's important today is, adding to General Deepak's what you call comment in terms of Pakistan denying, I mean, today the other thing is, which is very apparent, Pakistan is not finding any takers for the kind of story that it has been churning out, or the spiel that it's been working on for decades. Yeah. I mean, they don't have a story. They just don't have anything to be able to stand on. And I think, you know, their hypocrisy is exposed. So I think at such a point, when we've done it in a very calibrated way, as you've said, and that calibrated way includes the response of all political parties, we must bring it on the table. We must acknowledge every political party before the briefing, after the briefing with the Prime Minister, have come out there and stood firmly behind our armed forces. And that's, I think, the most important thing,
harping
for the
you.
Armed forces.
I agree
when they
with
go
you.
Out there, when we are sleeping, no one's bickering about it. Everyone is saying we are standing there.
Yeah.
And I think from an armed force perspective, there's no such thing as an ex-soldier. Soldier's a soldier at heart till he dies. So, I mean, those who sit on this panel, those who watch it, those who have stood on the panel, or those who are fighting on the ground, all of them have this one uniform thing, that yes, we are being backed completely for what we think is correct in the interest of the country.
Rajiv, let's bring you in there. I think that is a very important shift that we do need to talk about. We were told from the beginning that forces would be given a free hand, and both the former Air Chief and Army Chief have identified that as a major shift internally. I think that matters too.
No, I completely agree, and I said it at the top of the program, Barka, that the last 10 years or 12 years of this strategic restraint has led many people to believe that the Indian Armed Forces did not have this capability. And it was very important for the Prime Minister to give the Army a free ride, free rein, and say, go do your thing. And the Army has proven today that it has not just the capability, it has the capability for surgical strikes, very precision, with minimum collateral damage and minimum damage to itself. So the armed forces today have made us proud, made us more confident about our ability to handle these terrorist strikes and this terrorism threat, which for many, many years we were at a loss and scratching our head to try and figure out how we could handle this. So it is a very defining moment in more ways than one. As a nation, we have become more confident today about our ability to handle Pakistan economically, diplomatically, and militarily. And it is no small achievement, in my opinion. And the armed forces have a lot to do with that.
Okay, I just want to take last comments.
Barkha, may I add one small point, please?
Yes, Marshall, yes.
Barkha.
Yes.
One small point about deniability.
Yes.
If you go back a few years, I think, I don't remember the correct year, I think it was 2003, 2004. If you remember, we shut down the Pakistani Atlantic somewhere near Jamnagar, Gujarat.
99.
And those photographs were put all over the world.
Yeah.
That this is what we did. And I'm quite sure that if to avoid this deniability from Pakistan, if we were to put all the action photographs which have been taken by our special forces or, you know, UAVs or other electronic means, it should be shown to the world that, yes, we did it. And that, I think, is very important.
Now, this is a very critical point that I want to take to you, Ashok, because we have been told in our briefings that the military certainly has the evidence. And Pakistan's denial is also to duck escalation. But
I'm pretty sure there is evidence, but the evidence, if it's released, will also establish that we crossed the line of control. So the government may choose to do it at a time of its
but
choosing.
But we're not denying that we crossed the line of control. Well, we Mr. Rathore is
not denying it. The rest of the government is trying to finesse it. Well, that's a separate issue. I think there are 2 points here. One, escalation was mentioned. I think the Indian strategic establishment with this government, there's been one major shift. There's a belief that after every attack, there's been fear of that if you strike back, there'll be escalation. So that's caused us to do almost nothing. This government seems to believe that the escalation bogey can be tackled, that the ceiling for escalation is actually a bit higher. So you can act a bit, you can take some steps without escalation actually happening. Mm-hmm. And if Pakistan does not respond by really escalating the war, or the battle, not the war, then perhaps that theory would be proved correct. Mm-hmm. So maybe the escalation bogey has been, in a sense, challenged.
There's one phone call we need to talk about. And Ambassador Casey is saying at 7 a.m. this morning, Susan Rice speaks to Ajit Doval. This operation ends by all accounts at 4:30 a.m. We do not know if this is in response. We do not know who calls whom. We are told that Susan Rice calls Mr. Doval. That's what we know so far. Of course, when that statement is released, we know nothing about these strikes. Is there now going to be that kind of world pressure to contain this at the level at which it's happened? You're saying no?
Yeah. I think the whole diplomatic situation between 2008 or 2001 and today is very different. Pakistan is frankly in the doghouse today. And therefore, the restraint on India internationally, we have to acknowledge that, is much lower than it was.
I'm just trying to understand where we go from here.
Yeah, you see, the strategy, the recalibration of Pakistan's policy is in
Barkha,
three parts.
I'd like to add a point.
Yeah. There is a bilateral pressure that you're trying to build through Indus Water Treaty, various things. You're trying to isolate them regionally. That's where SAARC comes in. And three countries, and almost four countries, that's more than half the membership of SAARC, joins you in boycotting. It's unheard of. Mm. We've never had that kind of regional support. And then you do it internationally, which is on human rights and different things. But the fact that the Americans called is not surprising. Don't forget that their general had come from Afghanistan saying, give arms to Afghanistan, which they never said over the last 15 years since 2001.
So where do you think we go from here?
They killed Mullah Mansoor.
Yes.
With a drone. The Americans have changed because A, their dependence on Pakistan is no longer there. And secondly, I think they're sick and tired. What they're saying is the mood in Washington across the board is they're
so
sick and tired.
So where do we go from here? With this finessing that the government has attempted, but now you have a minister on record saying we crossed.
What I'm saying is that we should keep the rhetoric down as the Prime Minister did. Because it's important to have a face saver for the Pakistani army. You've conveyed the message to them.
And you're saying don't provoke them to escalate now.
No, because is that
what you're saying?
If you go on provoking, then that is not, you've cancelled the leave of your people. You have pulled them, the civilians back.
Yeah.
Now you're sending a signal to Pakistan, do not take action. Okay. We are ready for it.
Ashok and then General Kapoor, 30 seconds, gets the last shot.
But that doesn't mean you poke their eye.
Yeah.
The very fact that they've called it a counter-terrorist operation, which is what it is, rather than a military operation, tells you that the government is offering the Pakistani military a bit of a face saver and saying,
exactly,
look, this is, we are not here to invade you, we are here
to... So you don't agree with Fali Major that it doesn't matter what you call it?
Well, in life, diplomats, politicians and generals would all call it different things.
General Kapoor, 30 seconds, sir. I'm sorry, I'm out of time. Last word to you, sir.
I want to just a quick comment on that.
I'd like to put in, contrary to a number of views which have been expressed on this issue, that a degree of retaliation you may expect from the Pakistan army, if only that they wish to prove their credentials to their internal population.
Yes.
You recall that they have not gone back on Siachen to even tell their own population that they have been thrown out of
And
Siachen.
That's why...
To that extent, for purely for domestic
consumption.
So there is likely to be some kind of retaliation, maybe along some of our more vulnerable posts, for which I think the Indian Army is fully prepared and ready to take any action in defense to ensure their sanctity.
I do have to close, but I'm seeing two hands go up. Nalin and then Emma.
Barkha, small word from what General Kapoor just said.
Yes.
Yes, the armed forces are absolutely prepared and ready for any kind of retaliation. My little piece of advice is that keep the hinterland more prepared than the armed forces.
That's really an important point. I actually agree with it. Nalin, you wanted a sentence in, and I really do have to close it.
Yeah, just two short comments.
Yes.
One is that, the stark difference is there, since we are talking in terms of the armed forces. Here's an armed force, an army, that is under the constitution, respects it. On the other side, there's an army that's an extra constitutional authority and has always been. And the second thing is, some people talk of a soft state, hard state. I think what today we've gone out and shown is we are a mature, even a compassionate, but not a weak democracy. And that's, I think, the message that we've sent out globally.
And yet, I'm hearing both of you say we want to contain it here. And we
not contain it. We've sent a message.
And now...
And don't provoke. There's no need for chest thumping.
It is,
message has gone.
It is not an invasion of Pakistan or something. Yeah. It's preemptive at our doorstep.
Yeah. We leave it there. We will continue to keep an eye on this story. Thanking our panel tonight. We will see you later tonight as well. This program will broadcast again in a little while from now. Thank you for watching. Goodbye.